activating jump drive.
Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Nick, Lisa, and Amber.
Welcome to Jump Drive Radio. This is Amber. I'm doing a temporary hosting gig, supplementing for everyone else. How is everybody tonight?
I'm doing well.
Todd, how are you?
I'm groovy, as always.
As always.
Been Nick? I'm excellent, yes.
All right.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say, I've been playing a lot of music, but I think you guys have been coming out to most of the gigs lately.
Yeah,
so.
I went to one this weekend, and I think Nick went to two.
I went Friday and Saturday night. Yeah. That's my whole weekend entertainment.
Nick is like the super fan. We need to get cracking on the Todd the Fox t-shirts and getting
Yeah, he's up front lifting up his shirt, and, you know.
I'm not used to the club scene or the after evening scene. So, like, I know that at this point, playing in Todd the Fox, I know that when people ask you a question, the answer is, yeah, or woo! And then after this weekend of double shows, I start class tomorrow, and, well, like, is everybody happy to be here in art history? Woo! I'm like brainwashed into thinking that's how you answer questions now.
I think that actually would make her very happy, like excited that you're that thrilled to be in class though.
Are you guys ready to talk about some Yeah, so I'm doing good.
Had to start the heavy duty course load at school.
Must have been completely out of my mind when I set up my schedule for this quarter, so I am very nervous because there is no logic to my schedule.
Now, are you doing online classes and...
I'm doing online classes and regular classes. I start every day out with a workout. I'm doubling up my sciences.
So you're going downtown to the college, and then you're also going to come home and fire up the laptop.
Oh, yeah.
Kill yourself, yes. The moral of this story is don't drink and schedule classes.
Yeah, I believe so. Don't, like, oh, I have to schedule my classes, but Dragon Age? Okay, I can do this really fast.
I can do both at the same time.
Do you like online classes?
I've had some excellent experiences with that, but I've also had some terrible experiences with that. I'm not ready to say I like it or don't like it. I think it depends on the instructor and the format of the class. It can work and it can just be terrible, so...
I never took one,
but I never did either. I always took the time to go downtown and fight with the traffic, and then argue about parking spots and try to get tickets and
stalk people as they walked back to their cars. And
yeah. Well, you know, that's how I learned that, you know, if you put an orange in a sock, you can beat people, but it doesn't leave, you know, obvious marks.
Yeah. Phone books are good for that too. I mean, obviously, an orange in a sock is an easier.
A phone book in a sock.
Yeah, phone book and a sock. A giant sock. Or just with a phone book.
Those are called stockings. I can only find those in December.
I just reuse them all year.
Really?
You're craftier than I am.
Yeah, you don't pack them up. And plus, everybody's like, what? Is that a present in a stocking? No. It is violence in a sock.
That's my favorite. Violence in a sock.
We may have to change the motto of Jump Drive Radio.
Violence in a sock.
The sci-fi equivalent of violence in a sock.
Speaking of violence, they've been releasing information on the new Superman movie, which I didn't find out was actually happening until recently.
I had no idea.
I've absolutely been out of the loop about this stuff.
Well, Zack Snyder is directing. He's the guy that did 300 and Watchmen, and, you know, so I assume that even the flying will take place
slow
very
motion.
Slowly. Like, faster than a speeding bullet. Slowly.
Slowly faster. What's like that? Maybe he was inspired by that Oasis lyric from the 90s, the faster than slowly walking down the hall faster than a cannonball. That's
impossible.
Makes total sense.
Well, at least you know the whole movie will be like in front of a green screen.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know,
that's
what's
all he does.
Really weird about that is I loved 300 the first time I saw it.
Well, it was a pretty loyal adaptation of the graphic novel, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, which is, I think, why I liked it.
See, I didn't read the graphic novel in slow motion. I read it pretty. I remember all this action going a little bit faster when
I
read it.
But in terms of like the characters and stuff, it was spot on in my opinion. That's why I liked it. But it went downhill for me since then.
Well, every time I've watched it since, I it doesn't hold up. It feels like it gets worse. Now, transversely, The Watchmen, oddly enough, is one of those I literally could watch it and then just start it back over and loop it again. Like, I could watch that constantly.
I only saw it the one time. I saw it in theaters. And I didn't see the Tales of the Black Freighter, which was in the comic, but it was they released it separately, I think, from the movie itself. I never saw that, but that was one of my favorite parts of the comic book. But I didn't get to see that.
I've heard excellent things about that. I haven't seen it yet either.
I actually rented it one night. It's interesting because it's kind of like the motion comics thing. It's not quite animation.
Okay.
But there's like, you know, there's the, basically it's one voice actor doing the whole thing.
I think it's Gerard Butler, isn't it? I thought I read that.
I don't know. I didn't, the voice didn't
sound. He didn't sound, yeah, it. He didn't, could be. I don't know.
So have you guys seen the Under the Hood? That's also an add-on for Watchmen?
No, is that in the DVD extras or?
Well, yeah, when you rented it, at least the copy I rented, it was, it's the Black Freighter, the motion comic thing, and then there's the actual, it's like a live, it's the characters, it's not so much, well, you've read,
yeah.
I guess we should say spoiler alert, even though this thing's been out since the 80s.
For like,
Hollis Mason's book, instead of them, you know, doing like the interstitial things, they had a, they do like a behind the scenes, like kind of giving a little gravity to the world and trying to, you know, like do like a director's cut or a commentary or whatever, you know, like.
It's like an interview format with them and character talking about aspects of, you know, why'd you retire? What do you think about this thing and this thing?
So instead of like being at the chapter breaks or the issue breaks in the book, it was just a separate thing.
Yeah,
it's a whole separate.
It's not in the, they reference
it. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't,
actually,
yeah.
There's little, in my Watchmen, it's, they have little excerpts from the book.
Yeah, and my copy of
the actual graphic.
It's the character, and basically he's talking about the excerpts, the books in general, and him.
Right. And he's the one that gave all the reasons why the original Watchmen broke up.
Yes.
And, well, they weren't called the Watchmen, they were called something else. But why they originally broke up and all that. It was like an exposé.
Yeah,
essentially.
That's what the book is, a memoir expose.
Yeah.
But this actual video footage, instead of it being, you know, like excerpts of the book in the comic, it's actually him being interviewed about writing this book. So it's one of those cool things where like all this extra stuff, it would have been cool if they would have like mixed it into the actual movie the way they did with the comics.
Do it in with the credits or something.
Right. But that's, you know, that's how it goes.
It was pretty extensive in the books. I mean, the movie was really long. I mean, and it was pretty much just the...
I honestly did not notice that in the theaters, and I've never noticed it being long, like, watching it.
But
I think it's
because
I get into
it.
Yeah.
The only reason I noticed it is because I saw it with people who had never read the graphic novel. And it's kind of heavy, and it's kind of long if you've never read the graphic novel.
I'll say that. Anyone I know that watched it without reading it, they really didn't care either way for it.
Yeah.
But anyone I know that has read it and then watched the movie, everyone I know loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, even though it wasn't completely faithful... It was probably the best adaptation of that material you will ever get.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, absolutely.
And you got to be thankful for that.
Yeah.
It could have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw it with six people, and I was the only one who had read it. So for me, I was like fangirling out, but at the same time, I was aware that, you know, like Dr. Manhattan is just talking and talking and talking and talking, and everybody sitting next to me is like, when will he shut up? Why is this blue guy just constantly...
Stop complaining and look at his digital wing.
We should have sat in front row.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I felt like there was actually a lot less giant blue wing in the movie than there was in the comic.
That's true, yeah.
Actually, didn't you guys hear about the spinoff that they also did that was just called...
Who Watches the Wang? Everyone, because it's on the big screen.
It's huge. Look at it.
But it's probably Blu-ray only.
Whoa. The makes you wonder, if you could recreate your intrinsic field, wouldn't you change yourself to... Or did he change himself? Like, do you think he was actually that muscular to begin with?
And that blue?
No, he wasn't.
I mean...
Right, no, so he rebuilt himself like... Yeah, now I got some nice abs. Wait a second, hold on. Yeah, there it goes.
I never understood that either. Just like a,
It was like a Captain America transformation.
It was almost like he
had the super serum to make him all muscular, and Peter Parker, apparently Spider Venom makes you muscular there too.
He's still pretty wiry though.
In terms of acting though, it was a really good acting job, because I mean, that's something to be in a role like that and be believable voice acting and so on and so forth. Like they did. I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah.
It had the right mixture of that, like, disassociated, unattached boredom mm-hmm. and just, like, sadness and loss.
Yeah. That actually stole the show for me in terms of acting.
Yeah, he seemed like he really...
Rorschach did really well, too.
Rorschach was really good, and so was the comedian.
Yes.
He was really freaky.
Well, I can't believe we're actually talking about watching him. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Point of interest. The guy that played Dr. Manhattan and the guy that played the comedian both hooked up with the chick from Weeds.
Really?
Yeah. Mary...
I don't know her name, but I know
Mary
she is.
Something. Mary Louise Parker. And the guy that played Dr. Manhattan and her were engaged, and she was like 8 months pregnant when he dumped her for Claire Danes. And then she hooked up with the guy that played the comedian. So, there you go. 6 degrees of...
Maybe she just really likes that movie.
Yeah. It was all before that, though.
Well, yeah, and he was trying to make up for the... His character being so negative and terrible. No. I'll father your baby by the other guy.
Like, oh man. And then, but don't come to me if you're pregnant, because seriously, I will blow you away.
That was shocking in the comic, and it was really shocking on the screen.
It really was.
And like the way the whole Vietnam flashbacks in the comic, it was like. Okay, yeah, this is something. But it had that weird, like, surreal kind of tongue-in-cheek humor to it that just gave it a different spin and a different... I don't know. It was just really well done.
See, in the movie, it... I don't know, it put a different touch to it.
It felt different.
Well, it's the addition of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, the soundtrack was fabulous.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, the fact... I'm sitting there listening, and, like, 99 Red Balloons comes on. I was like, this song is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, it's...
They put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, the soundtrack was wonderful. So, all that said, clearly we all really liked Watchmen.
Yeah, let's
didn't
just
really like 300.
Watchmen. Oh.
I liked 300.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time I've seen it since, though, it's been a little less for me. Because after you get past the, oh, wow, he knows how to fast motion and slow motion on his video recorder.
It feels like an overused gimmick, and that's what my fear for the Superman movie is.
Well, they had a touch of that in the Watchmen, too. So
I'd say more than a touch. I mean, it was almost distracting at times.
The prison break scene was pretty
much... That's the only thing I can think of in terms of that, and maybe rescuing people from the burning building.
You're in here with me. That's my Rorschach impression.
I really feel like there
sounds
should
like
be
your
a
Batman
college
impression.
Course.
It's a lot. It's very similar. It's also quite similar to my new Freddy Krueger impression.
This prison
is in here with me.
Just showed you. You're in here with me. I'm not wearing hockey pads.
And oddly enough, it's close to Christian Bale Batman, too.
Yeah.
But Zack Snyder, I don't know. I can see it going either way.
I'll obviously see it. I'm not a huge Superman fan. As far as all the DC heroes go, he's not my favorite. I think he's kind of boring.
Gave him too many powers. I've thought that ever since I was a kid. Like, mm-hmm. All right.
When he has the power to extinguish a star.
Yeah.
That's like...
He's like the Cartman character. Like, you know, have you seen Cartman and like how, like whenever in South Park, whenever they're playing, like the kids are just playing. Cartman always like, he has like all the powers. I have the power to have all the powers. Like, yeah. You only get one power. Reminds me of when we were playing with, you know, when we were kids and we would play with that annoying kid across the street who just didn't understand.
To infinity.
Yeah.
I've got infinity power.
Yeah, so that's what Superman has always felt like to me. It's like, you know, and people try to sell Superman to me on that, well, Batman, you know, he fights criminals on a smaller scale. Superman is for, like, large scale, like, for train wrecks, for da 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 da. I don't care. I still don't... I feel like the Flash gets by with just one, you know, major mm-hmm. power. I feel like, you know, Wonder Woman's narrowed it down to, like, what, a couple of powers that she can...
Aquaman.
Yeah.
Aquaman, who has no powers at all, as far as I can tell. Like, he only has one hand.
He sleeps with the fishes, you know.
And he apparently does an okay job.
Yeah. For whatever it is he does. Nobody likes Aquaman. Like,
no,
okay
the one
Aquaman.
Time that my opinion about the whole Aqua family changed when in the Lightning Gyre.
Oh, where he's like a stoner.
He's like, we can't come out here anymore. Why? We just can't. For those of you who have read this comic series, you'll know what I'm talking about, and you'll be smiling, and then you'll think about the ending of it, and then you'll be pissed.
And you'll punch something.
Right. Just like
and
I was.
Ideally, it'll be Kevin Smith.
There's six more to go. Let's see how it turns out. So
one of the things, my favorite thing about Superman is actually Lois Lane, and they've cast Amy Adams as Lois Lane in the new movie. So other than that, you know, like, we'll all be mourning the loss of her red hair. I think she'll do a good job.
Yeah. Maybe she'll get a wig or something. You never know.
Yeah, well, yeah, she just looks so good with the red hair. I don't know.
I didn't pay attention. Who do they have as Clark?
Have you ever seen The Tudors?
Yeah, yeah.
Henry Cavill
is
the guy that they cast as Clark. He's actually British. As far as I can tell, it's mostly non-US people playing most of the superheroes now. But I've heard he's really good. I've never seen The Tudors. But I've heard he's great. So
It's a solid historical drama. Yeah, but I think it's one of those things where if you're really into that time period or really into that kind of, you know, historical drama, you'll be really, really, really into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just kind of not, then you're not.
I'd like to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it. Now, he looks like Clark. He's got the blue eyes and the brown hair. And
I will warn you, it is Tudors. If you do watch it, it is like a softcore porn.
So it's like a Spartacus.
Yeah. Yes, I was going to say, is it like Spartacus, Blood and Sand, whatever
that? I would almost say there's more, just because.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
All those Showtime and HBO shows are that way, though. Because even years ago, this is depressing, even years ago when Rome came out,
right.
Like there's and the second season, there's some like borderline,
yes.
Like full on, like the motions are there and the important body parts are jiggling.
Yes,
And it's one of those like.
So like that scene in Watchmen?
Yeah. It's more graphic than that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well.
It's the one where Mark Anthony says to her, I am not leaving this bed until I'm. And she's like, fine, slave girl. It's distractingly graphic. At least I thought it was at the time, but now that's like nothing compared to some of those. Yeah, like some of the scenes from Spartacus. Something
I was gonna say that first episode of Spartacus where like they're just having a conversation,
and then they'll have the slave girls like
yeah, the
prep
slave
them.
Girls are like getting them both ready while they have a conversation about finances.
Yeah, it's
like the slave girls are working really hard.
The
really earning their lack of pay.
Yeah. It sucks.
they were inspired by it.
Yes.
Whoa. No, like Fry of from Futurama. One of my favorite episodes is when they're all slaves.
Yeah, and he's Snoo Snoo.
No. When they're all slaves on the Bender planet, like
on the Egypt.
Oh,
yeah. And like all he does is complain about what sucks to be a slave.
You know what else sucks about being a slave? The hours.
You know what sucks is that we work really hard and we don't get paid. That's the only thing about being a slave. But yeah, that's what that kind of.
Speaking of
hot girls
and working really hard, did you see how much that the new Wonder Woman costume looks like she's about to work it really hard?
I did notice that they tried to subtly bring in the original designs in the top, but the bottom's like, pantsuit, close enough.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's all made out of, I don't know, some sort of like spray-on latex or like vinyl.
Leather or
pleather.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like real leather or any kind of real armor at all. It's very shiny. It looks like a Halloween store Wonder Woman costume.
And they've got gold details that look like plastic. Like
The 1990s Flash.
Yeah.
The gold surround is the worst part.
Yeah, I think that they could have pulled off the costume if her boots were red and the gold details looked a little less cheap, like plasticky. Yep. If they had made some of the details more intricate the way that they tend to be on the actual costume and made them look realistic, like real metal, then I think I'd be okay with the vinyl.
If they're going to do like a new vision of it, though, why do they even need the gold, though? They should just get rid of it.
I don't even mind. Like, I liked the design of the costume. I liked the bustier top, and I didn't mind the blue boots. I think they would look better in red, but I didn't mind them.
Yeah, I didn't mind
them. It was just, it all just looked really cheap.
Like, and I don't think
I got
those
this
pants
for $25 at Halloween RS. Halloween's
well,
house.
it's the first it's the first promo shot.
Yeah,
and
so maybe it was just.
Yeah, so by the time production actually happens, they may have gotten a little like, hey, this is the new costume. Oh, hell, we got to change that.
And I have seen shots of her on set in a different, like, whatever the CEO costume is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and she looks really good.
Diane Prince.
Yeah. Yeah, she looks good. She's very curvy, like Wonder Woman is supposed to be. So.
Yeah, I was pretty pleased with the way that she fell out of costume.
I don't know. I thought her facial structure and things really work for the. Which I'm not the super Wonder Woman fan like you guys are, but so it falls under the good enough for me category.
Yeah, I'm
which you know I've got the same thing going on with Ryan Reynolds. You know, it's. I think most people are going, yeah, close enough for Hal. Like, but his hair, too short, mask, no.
His are painted on suit. What?
This movie's going to be okay. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I feel like please I'm rocking in a corner please like, please let's have this not suck.
When does that do?
It's this summer. I want to say June?
June 7th, maybe?
Yeah, something.
Something
yeah.
like that.
So I've got to find my glow-in-the-dark flash ring. I was looking at the Shamrock glow-in-the-dark St. Patrick's Day rings, and I was thinking, I wonder if I could make a Green Lantern ring out of that. I could, like, carve the top of it, because it glows. Like, when you squeeze it, it triggers
a
glow.
Sure you could.
Like, that's a good idea.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So, and I figure somebody's going to, you know, people hand-make these replica rings. I figure somebody's going to have a, like, a good mass-marketed, like they did the... you know all the different, you know all the different power rings from the Blackest Night series.
Yeah,
they released all those. Someone's got to make the official movie version.
Yeah, there's got to be. I haven't seen anything about it yet, but I'm sure there will be. I mean, they've been promoting the movie like in every DC comic issue for the last 2 months. There's been a sneak peek at whatever all the movie details.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this falls back under what Nick said. Like, no matter what, this is going to be the closest, best shot at an actual Green Lantern movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hoping they hit the highlights. I'm hoping they don't dumb it down and they don't have to rely 100% on, you know, on just the Hal story. I'd like for them to work in the actual Green Lantern core, because I really feel like that's the attraction of the whole series, at least to me, is not so much the Green Lantern here on Earth, but... the actual...
It's the whole core.
Yeah, the core is what makes it interesting.
The big picture.
Yeah,
and they, you know, I don't dislike Hal, but I feel like they overplay Hal. There's so much, especially in the comics lately, Hal is still, how many years later, the main character. He's still the one everything hinges on, and it kind of bugs me. Kyle is my favorite. I've got people who are, you know, I know people who are big fans of...
I didn't like Guy Gardner as a child. But, like, since I've gotten older, like, he's actually a really interesting character if you go back and read those.
Yeah, I've got several friends who Guy is their favorite, you know, and that's just the Earth Lanterns, you know, skipping out on all the other ones.
You guys were talking about Superman. I'm hoping in the Green Lantern movie, if they actually hit the highlights of the core, they'll have some sort of flashback with Tomari trying to save Krypton. Because it's one of those, like,
that'd be awesome.
Obscure things, like, for just a split second, if they could work that in somehow, that, like, my head would explode, and there'd be, you know, like, 100 people nationwide.
See, that would be awesome. What was that? That was, like, a raptor noise? Like,
there'd be hundreds of raptors nationwide.
No, but they do that. Marvel does a really good job of that in their films. They work in, like, here's a little thing, you know, that's going to be for the Thor movie in 3 years. You know, here's a little thing that, you know.
And Iron Man 2, when he walks in with the prototype shield for Captain America and hands it to him, and he's like, this is exactly what I need. And then he uses it to prop the laser thing.
Yeah, but DC doesn't do such a good job of tying everything in together like that. And I wish they would sort of take a page from Marvel's book and do that.
If anything, in the actual DC universe, they are really good at, like, explaining.
Oh, yeah.
And they do a good job of, well, back in the 40s, we had, you know, this group of people had it. Well, that was Earth 2. That's why those don't match up with the modern stuff. Yeah. though I can see, at least it's an attempt to try to make one unified universe.
But, like, that's something that they could be doing in the Batman movies and they don't do. You know, they could have little bits of, you know, mention that he was going to go talk to Clark. Or, you know, something really easy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call me Diana, note next to the phone, but something.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything.
That wouldn't even be that obvious, but for people like us, they would, like, oh my God, I wonder if that's,
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe they will now that these are, you know, in the works or coming out. I mean, next Batman comes out, what, next year?
I think so, yeah, because there's been casting news coming.
Have they talked anything about doing, like, Justice League?
I haven't heard anything about that.
My feeling is from the Batman movies is it's an isolated universe, they don't seem interested in, like, the cheese that comes with the, like, other DC comics. Like, they're keeping it very serious and very dramatic. And, like, not to say that it's bad, but I can't see, like, a Wonder Woman or a Superman flying in and hanging out with Batman and helping him, you know?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan seems to want it to be very self-contained. He said there would never be a Robin, there would never be Poison Ivy or anything like that.
There should be Poison Ivy.
There should be Poison Ivy, and I honestly, I think Robin is an important part of the... As long as it's not Chris O'Donnell, it's an important part of the...
I strongly agree there.
But, you know, they've got Bane in it, so obviously they're sort of... It's a different sort of verse from the other Batman things, which is good. And I like Christopher Nolan, but...
Is this their last one?
Mm-hmm. It's at least his last one.
Yeah, so I heard.
Maybe someone related to Joel Schumacher can take over the series again.
Joel Schumacher is history's greatest monster!
I'm fine with Tim Burton getting back in the scene.
That would be... I would like to see Michael Keaton back. I loved him.
Loved Michael Keaton! I really did. I truly, truly did. You know, I'm okay with the Christopher Nolan Batman series. I think that they're, you know, one of the better representations of Batman on the... You know, and of course that doesn't say much considering the previous, but I really enjoy them. I feel like it kind of sucks for the fans who would love to see their Justice League, and they'd love to see him interact with, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman, and the Flash, and, you know...
Who are the villains for this one?
We know Bane is going to be in it, and we know that Anne Hathaway has been cast as Catwoman Selina Kyle. And she did confirm that she will be playing Catwoman, not just Selina Kyle, so...
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I like Anne Hathaway, so I don't know.
I do, too.
Yeah, I'd really like to see Christopher Nolan do, like, a take of Penguin.
That would be cool.
There was rumors talk... Philip Seymour Hoffman was rumored to be that.
That
but,
would be great.
But, yeah, I don't think that ever actually panned out. But.
And they've said that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has definitely... He's in the movie, but they haven't said who he's cast as. There's been all sorts of rumors. They talked about him playing the Holiday Killer, because they've been going with this whole, like, long Halloween type, you know, Dark Knight Returns, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Holiday Killer is a big part of the long Halloween. And I think, you know, seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt play some sort of Italian mobster type character would be great, but they haven't said who he's playing yet. We just know that he's basically casting everyone that was in Inception. Which I liked Inception. So.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go back and watch Inception again because I watched it and I was like, eh,
you were
yes.
in like the front row too.
It's
like
okay.
I was getting motion sickness being up that close.
Yeah, well, that was the problem. We were like, let's go see it opening night. Yeah, they literally oversold the theater.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it was literally every chair packed, and like
things were happening so fast on screen, like. Everybody, like, flying. There was a lot of flying around and things, action.
Falling,
and the world was turning upside down. Like, a couple times, like, I had to look away because I thought I was going to have, like, a seizure or a stroke or something. It's too fast, too big. I can't take it.
I like
that's what she
Cillian
said.
Murphy was in that, too. Oh.
Yes.
And I love Cillian Murphy. He was, you know, I guess he was in the first Batman Begins. He was Scarecrow.
Well, he was in the second one, too.
Briefly.
Yeah, for a half second.
Yeah, I felt like he was underused.
I would love to see more of him in that.
He's just so creepy.
Well, knowing this is the history that
big
Nolan
blue
uses,
eyes.
Like scary.
Maybe there's going to be a scene where they go to Arkham for some reason, and way down the hall you just hear the. So you know what I mean? Like obviously they can't bring him back from the dead, but just to let us know that the Joker actually is alive in Arkham and like. And just kind of contained for the time being.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. That would be a nice homage.
Yeah, it would. And I think there probably should be something, because he really made that character his own. Although apparently, playing that character that way damaged him psychologically. So, or at least that's what some of the rumors were.
Yeah, I think it was more of the story.
I would say probably the pills were just as responsible,
well,
but that's me.
Yeah, well, they said
call me old-fashioned.
Well, some of the stuff he's on was just like a regular, it was just like the regular, what the procession of what they prescribed for insomnia was. I mean, it was just, I don't know what he paired it with. But that was like the, you know, all the things that they said were all stuff that, like, are prescribed in that order for insomnia. Poor guy.
Yeah.
I loved him. I loved 10 Things I Hate About You.
Me too!
It was an awesome, awesome...
I mean, he was fantastic in that movie. My mom loves that movie. Like, you know, that's one, being, not to sound like a total girl, but that's one I could watch in a loop.
playing such a, he played such a good gay cowboy too.
I don't. Oh, I never saw that one.
Honestly, I tried.
I only saw scenes of it.
I tried to start that three times, literally, and I was not offended by the gayness. I was not offended by like the Montana cowboys. I was offended by it being so slow. it's boring.
But. Well, it's good that you weren't offended by gayness. There's actually been like a rash of, you know, geeks, supposed geeks, who are apparently offended by gayness.
Which frustrates me, because haven't we learned from the X-Men and from, like, from these different characters that we tolerate each other no matter how alien or mutated
I don't know that
gay
I'm,
or straight or bi?
Or black or white or purple?
I'm maybe out of loop.
What are we talking about? You guys have you've lost me there.
Well, recently, because we're all gamers and open-minded gamers.
Three-quarters of us are gamers. Some of us don't apparently have enough time to do anything except sometimes play Portal, but yeah.
We're all open-minded, nerd, gamer types.
And we would like to think that we are representative of the bulk of gamers.
True.
But recently there was a bit of a showdown on the BioWare forums between a gamer who was saying that the bisexuality of all the characters for Dragon Age 2, so that any character you develop can have a relationship with any of the other characters, regardless of gender or race or pointy ears or not. They said that that was offensive and getting in the way of the enjoyment of the, quote, straight male gamer, who apparently is the...
So, are you saying that the straight male gamer didn't have the choice to have his male character sleep with a female character?
No, you actually have a choice for any of the characters to sleep with any of the characters.
So how does that get in the way of that?
Well, it was frustrating to him because he was surrounded by a bunch of bisexual characters.
And apparently that was upsetting.
I don't really understand it.
He said that he felt like the straight male gamer shouldn't have to put up with his character being hit on by the males of your party, which only happens once, and you can choose not to flirt back. It's not, it's not like they're, you know, like forcing you into a corner and tongue kissing you.
The option is there. I hate it when that happens.
Like I know. It's
just like the blue oyster.
The option is there if you want it, though. Which yes. I think is fair. I think it's a lot more than a lot of, like, these BioWare games, in order to give you all the options and all the realism, and, you know, in some ways, maybe it's not realistic, but you have, like, almost unlimited possibilities for how you can play the game.
Yeah, and in terms of just realism's sake, I mean, I could go out here, I could find a guy or a girl and hook up with them.
And he probably will.
The fact that you have both options and multiple options within both ends of the spectrum, I think it's great.
It also makes sense from a financial point of view. I mean, BioWare's always been famous for having fairly balanced relationships. You can end up with characters of either gender. Well, it makes sense from a financial and programming point of view that you would make all of the characters flexible like that. And nobody's forcing anything on anybody.
Yeah, well, it'd be ridiculous to try to program it to where sometimes, depending on which setting you use, we have to rewrite a huge, you know, a third of the code, so your little homophobic 13-year-olds aren't propositioned one time in the game.
Yeah, and what BioWare did is one of their writers, David Gator, who I believe writes most of the dialogue, and he wrote the books, I think, for the Dragon Age games, he got on the forums and gave a exceptionally coherent, firm response to this guy talking about not everybody is a straight male gamer, and the idea that you would want to inconvenience everybody else or cut everyone else's options down because one sentence made you uncomfortable just reeked of privilege and homophobia and basically everything that every reasonable-minded gamer was thinking. BioWare came right out and said, which I thought was brilliant and wonderful. So it was nice to see. We've always known that BioWare is an open-minded, fair-minded company, but this was like they really backed up our decision to spend money on their games.
Didn't he also
being awesome games?
Didn't he also say something about the female choices were not like he didn't like that they were of other races
Said that he thought the female choices were too exotic, which I can only assume means that one of them was an elf and one of them was a dark-skinned woman. But there was that exceptionally white freckled lady, so I don't know what his problem was.
I always like go for the aliens and the monsters anyway.
Yeah.
Like, if I could do that in real life, I'd totally be all over that too.
Yeah, I'm hooked up with the little elf.
Like Mass Effect 2. Oh, Mass Effect 1. I was pissed. I couldn't pair with Tali. And he came in Mass Effect 2, and I'm like, oh, yes. I took off that suit, and...
I don't know how that works, because won't you kill her? If you take off Tali's suit, won't she get sick and die?
That's one of the risks you have to take in Mass Effect 2.
Seriously. Same in the universe. You gotta take this risk, Tali.
She's just like, hold your breath, get baby. Sick. And you have to be like, well, I'll take this penicillin before we do it, or something like that. There's an option.
Tali is adorable, too.
Let's be honest, though. We've all been there, Nick.
Yeah. You're going to be sick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But,
just
you
hold
know,
your breath.
Listen, there's antibiotics for the big C. It's okay.
Is the big C chlamydia?
Or it's probably cancer.
I don't think you can get cancer.
No, that's the big K.
You can't catch it, for real.
Yeah. Todd, we have to know.
You've seen that Metalocalypse where Toki's dad... is dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Swiss Car comes in. So you see, dad's got the big K. Cancers.
The cancers.
So well, terrible.
Well, I know Nick and I have been playing a lot of Dragon Age 2, which is pretty much the only thing I've been playing lately, but Todd has been playing Portal.
Yes.
Todd actually beat Portal in a record 2 days. It's like the shortest game in the world. And seeing as I work all the time and I'm all the time recording or doing some sort of music-related thing, I was actually able to devote a few hours to it one weekend and actually finish it. So,
although we both got motion sick? Like,
yeah, the first... Well, no, I played up to like level... There's only like 19 levels, and that's how short the game is. For those of you who are not familiar with Portal, go find a copy of the Orange Box for Xbox 360.
It's good value.
Yeah, there's like 5 different games, like Half-Life 2 and some add-ons of like that kind of right. action, you know, first, I guess first, not first-person shooter, third-person shooter, where your character runs around and trying to...
You can see the character.
Right,
but
yeah.
Team Fortress.
There's one game in there called Portal, which basically you wake up in a testing facility.
And like in Assassin's Creed.
And suddenly, you know, you're put through these tests by this automated system. And there's no other human beings.
GLaDOS.
There's GLaDOS. Who, I can't remember the acronym for her name. GLaDOS.
I don't remember either.
But yeah, it's a play on DOS, obviously.
Right.
So, basically, you have to figure out these puzzles based on the physics of these portal guns. So these portal guns are like little wormholes, little contained wormholes.
Yeah.
There's a blue one and an orange one. In order to navigate through the puzzles through the world, you have to figure out how to use your portal gun to, as you acquire the portal gun and the upgrades and things, to use it to actually get through this world. And it's actually really clever and intense and really nerve-wracking in sections.
The physics are insane.
The physics are insane.
Yeah.
And it's not really that violent. There's some sentry guards that you have to figure out how to outsmart. You know, they're looking to shoot you because by accident the military left one of it. They're
I don't
testing.
Blame you. They say the cutest things.
Yeah, it's really a good game. The
somebody there? What else? Is
yeah, are you there? All the characters are almost like they talk in like a real sing-songy way.
Like adorable,
and they're
so
all
cute.
Robotic.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So all you know, right, like,
me
it's one of those weird like.
I don't care for AI.
You would probably be creeped out. It's weird. Like, it's not a horror game, but there are sections of it where you do get creeped out in
like
this.
When you're on the conveyor with the fire?
Yeah,
That was creepy.
It sounds like you have to totally readjust the way you're thinking to play that. I mean, it sounds like if the physics are all, you know, you can do all sorts of things.
And hence the motion sickness. Because, like, I don't really get sick during first-person shooter games. Like, I know a lot of people who actually do, and yourself included.
Yeah.
It takes a lot for me to... And Todd would, like... You know, I've already beat this game. It's been years, but I've played it, and I beat it. And I'll walk in the room, and he's, like, got a portal going, another one, and he's, like, doing some crazy thing where he's going between portals, and the realm is just, like, spinning and spinning and spinning and going back and forth so fast. And, like, I sat and watched him play it for a while, and then, like, about 6 minutes in, I was like... I am going to throw up.
Well, I was trying to test, like, the actual... when it because you're right. The physics change. They basically, whatever forward motion you have carries through the portal.
Mm.
So, like, you may jump through the floor and you'll come out the wall.
And it'll
at the
slingshot
same,
you.
It'll
like.
Slingshot you over an obstacle.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to figure out ways to, like, use that to my advantage. So I'd shoot two portals on the floor, jump in one and pop out the other, and then you'd fall into it, pop right back out. And it, And, like, it's first person. So, like, as you spin upside down, it spins upside down with you.
The camera's just going,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's one of those, you may want to buy a package of Dramamine, but it's totally worth it.
That's awesome.
And no, it's great. Yeah, the physics are probably one of the best I've ever seen in a game.
It does a good job of, like, starting off, like, getting you immersed in the world, and... It's subtle, like the plot and trying to figure out exactly why you're in this testing facility and why there's no humans around and what's going on is
you have, like, the
really
notes
subtle.
Scribbled in the hidden areas and stuff.
Yeah, there's little.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
And they're cute too.
It's very cool.
The when Will Wheaton did the keynote address at PAX a couple years ago, he did his keynote address was called From Pitfall to Portal.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it, but I've heard it was really good and it sounds interesting. But so,
I feel
love
like
Will Wheaton so.
That's probably something to YouTube then.
Yeah.
For all of our old school Atari fans, Pitfall was pretty neat. But if you can find a copy of Pitfall 2, even if you can find, you know, a ROM on your computer of Pitfall 2, I played Pitfall 2 for hours and hours and hours. It was like the first game that you could actually...
alligators.
Oh, no. Well, that's the thing. Like, in the second one, like, you actually go into the caverns below all the alligators.
Oh. Yeah.
And it's like you have to, like, figure out ways to, like... grab onto certain kinds of bats, but other kinds of bats will eat you. And it's all like 4-bit Atari graphics.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the first game that where you would actually, instead of like dying and having to start at the first, like whatever your last save point, it there was a memory chip and there it actually remember your last save point.
Okay.
You had to get all the gold and actually make it back out of the actual caverns or whatever the South American Incas were or whatever they were.
It
was really good. Pitfall 2!
Spoiler.
But also, but also Portal, and we love Will Wheaton.
There was also one of the recent episodes of Fringe, they mentioned Joust, and I played the crap out of Joust. Like
I've never played it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was another Atari game. It was excellent.
I found Joust on an emulator. I never had it for my Atari, but
they had it in Xbox Live for a while.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's awesome. Is that in the... I never go to the arcade section of
Xbox at least,
Live. Is that
when I got my Xbox, it was one of the games that was available.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, I know Joust. It was a great game. It was very hard.
Yeah, it was really hard.
It's like Battletoads, but Atari.
I've not been able to find a copy of Battletoads. I keep calling GameStop, but...
I think I'm
not. As a person who used to work at GameStop, I gotta tell you, there was nothing more.
You're like, I'm gonna slap you in the face.
No, what was frustrating to me, and this was years ago. You know, I was still a relatively polite nerd. But what was frustrating to me is, it would be months and months and months after the original, like, you know, Battletoads thing, you know, went off, and like months and months later. New kids have found out about it, so they and I was like, "That's old. That's old news. Nobody even is."
Do you know what we're talking about? There's this
play Battletoads.
Well, there's this weird thing where for some reason someone like because Battletoads was like for the NES.
Yeah, they wanted Battletoads
for
the Wii.
For some reason, yeah, someone started saying the Battletoads is for the Wii, and the joke became like start calling and harassing the video game stores like GameStop.
Okay.
Like
that's terrible.
Hey,
it was really.
Do you guys have Battletoads? And yeah, it's
because like
just
you
simple
know,
and irritating.
And they do it around Christmas time when the GameStop is already slammed, and I'm already like a secretary having to answer the phone, like, "No, we don't have any Wiis because this was 2 years ago when nobody had any Wiis," and like you know, answering all the questions of what we were sold out on and what we did have, and putting stuff on hold. And then I'd have like 8 Battletoads calls like as well. And then what really frustrated me is people
we should get
wouldn't
our parents
even
to call. That would be awesome.
No, people would even ask about
so my grandchild was looking for Battletoads.
No,
my mom called Cheetah Man or something like that. They probably don't even know what it is.
What was frustrating is we actually had Battletoads, like the actual game Battletoads, because we had like a lot of the vintage stuff back then. And it's like, yeah, we've got it. And they're like, because they didn't know the whole thing. They just knew call GameStop and ask about Battletoads. They didn't know you're supposed to ask about Battletoads for the Wii, which is never going to happen. So I'd say, yes, we do. Would you like to come pick that up? Like, I'll put it on hold for you. What's your name? Like, you know.
Bye.
Yeah, it's just frustrating and annoying. Although I think I did actually get a copy.
Homo says what?
Damn it. Stupid kids, why aren't you in school? Like, why do I work at GameStop? I'm a grown woman. <I'm> terrible.
Well, apparently one of our listeners was describing... mentioned Lisa Bunny to her husband recently, and he was like, Did he used to work at GameStop?
Oh, weird. He came out to our show, actually.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, really?
And I was like, Fox show on Saturday.
And I was like, really polite. And I was like, I don't believe we've met. And he's like, yeah, I've seen you at the game store. And I was like, oh, that sounds like me. And then, like, we started talking. And it turns out, like, from when I worked at the game store, not just that I frequent them. So
weird.
The game store stalker.
Yeah.
So feel free to harass GameStop all you like. Nobody we know
anymore.
Or likes works there anymore.
We all shop at GameSwap in Kettering.
GameSwap.
SWAP. Right. They're phenomenal. They have better discounts on things. They don't harass you about magazine subscriptions or Edge cards or anything like that.
I love Game Informer. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
They harass you about Game Informer. I love Game Informer.
You should have been one of my customers because my manager was like, sell more magazines. And I'd be like, they don't want to buy magazines from me. They want to buy video games from me.
Ultimately, though, if you want to help us out here at Jump Drive Radio, you want to support our friends. And one of our friends is GameSwap. So make sure you tell them that you heard about them here on Jump Drive Radio.
Yes.
And I don't know. Who knows? Matt may even cut you a deal.
Ooh. Yeah, and he does give more for trades. Like, I've noticed as a nerd and as a person who, I mean, I don't, there are certain games I will never, ever sell, but I do price certain things, like, around. Like, I've got a DSi and things like that that I know I don't use in different games. I have noticed with GameSwap, they do, you know, you walk away and you don't feel like you got screwed when you sell them games, which is kind of cool. Mm. But also the discounts in general, like, I got Mass Effect 2 there for, like, $11. Like,
nice.
Yeah, and it's been out, you know, and this was a few months ago, so that was pretty good.
It's really warm here at Jump Drive Radio. We're all about to melt because Lisa was super cold.
Yeah,
she jacked up the heater, and now she's like, oh my gosh, it's so hot in here. Speaking of hot in here, you know where else it's hot? Hell.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's my nice segue into...
That's good. You've been good with the segues today.
Would you like a glass of ice water? Like, isn't there something about ice water in hell? Oh, people in hell want ice water. Totally unrelated.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
There's a new Hellraiser comic that came out. The first issue came out this week. And it's actually being written by Clive Barker, who, if you've seen, you know, like the Hellraiser franchise, he has not had any involvement in Hellraiser.
Since the first one?
Since the first movie.
So it actually may be pretty good.
Yeah.
Well,
the comic
is better than the first one. Did it get worse?
Yes.
Absolutely. The second one is interesting, but the execution is terrible. Like,
okay,
the idea is good in the second one.
Just,
and then they just turn into, like, slasher
really
flicks.
The first one.
Wait, Hellraiser
the first one's really, really good.
Pinhead? Is this the one with Pin? I was going to say, is this the one with Pinhead?
No, the Cenobites.
Is it weird? Cenobites? I always thought they sounded like delicious treats or like something you would get at Cinnabon. Like
in
Cenobites.
Hell. Cinnabon in hell.
Yeah. No, I had the biggest crush on Pinhead. I still do. I don't know how we'd make it work, like how we'd make out, but...
You know, the reason people... Because I kind of have a crush on Pinhead, too. And it's because, like, when you compare him to all the other... A lot of the bad guys from the movies at the time, like Jason and Leatherface and stuff, they didn't talk. And the only time Freddy talked, it was basically in sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he, like...
This is a one-liner.
Yeah, exactly. But Pinhead, he was eloquent. You know, it was, like, it was pretty speechifying. And as long as he didn't mind those chains and the hooks,
yeah,
he was along really well.
I was really attracted to him.
Intimidating, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was really a really good villain. And so now Clive Barker's back, and he's writing Pinhead again, and it's a whole different story, and the story is awesome.
That makes me really want
to
read it.
I can loan it to you. I read the first issue. It was really good.
Maybe I'll take
it. It's a whole different story. It's a whole different aspect to it. It's really good.
I know the actual puzzle box from the series. Mm-hmm. Actually, somebody fleshed out the whole backstory, and there's like through history of different people getting hold of it.
I had to like Wikipedia a lot of it so that I could get like the Pinhead backstory because it really focuses on Pinhead. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really good. I expected it to be good. I did not expect it to be as good as it was.
Everyone calls him Pinhead. Obviously, they don't say his name in the first one. Was that actually his name, or is that just, like, colloquially what everyone calls him?
Originally, he didn't even have a name.
Right. Well, yeah, because they're all implied to be, like, tortured demons from hell,
yeah.
Or a section
yeah.
of hell.
But now he has, I mean, apparently there's quite a large backstory for the, you know, six movies or something. And I'm thrilled with it. I haven't been this excited about a comic series in quite a while.
The nice thing about
the first episode or episode
first
Jesus.
Issue
yeah. first issue came out this month.
Last Wednesday. So
like a week ago.
Yeah,
I like that, so I can get right in at the beginning.
Yes,
and,
yeah,
absolutely.
Right on.
And it's really fabulous. I'm really excited about it.
I like that. I used to go to horror conventions all the time, and every so often you'd see like a really, really good Pinhead, and you know, it's just very cool. But the other thing is, I think that you can get the puzzle box that's an actual like solvable puzzle. I've seen those
cool.
before.
That's so cool.
Like, and that was
really creepy.
Yeah, I was probably like 18 years old back then. But you know, when I went to horror conventions, and so maybe bringing it back, you know, we'll see more of that Hellraiser merchandise, which. I would love a puzzle box like that.
That would be awesome. I wonder if you could find something like that at Gem City Comic Con this next weekend, because I know there's going to be lots of merchandise and stuff there.
Oh, that's right.
So
you know,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. April 3rd. It's this coming Sunday. It's going to be
here in Dayton, Dayton's own Comic Con.
10 to 5.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. I looked it up.
I want to say it's there. If you get there earlier than that, though, you get a discount on like it's like the early bird tickets. So like, it's like $4 or $5 or something if you get there before 10 or 9 or something.
Also,
like
if you're
that.
A student, they do give it discount, right? We talked about this.
Yes, you've got the student discount, which I think makes the ticket $5?
$5
instead of $6.
Yeah, how can you argue with that?
Yeah. So. And well, it's going to be a great deal. Supposedly, it's going to be quite big this year. So.
You know, it's one of those weird things. Everyone's complaining. I know everyone's broke and the economy's broken and all that. But ultimately, it's like $5.50 for like the cheapest value meal from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Come on.
You can't do anything for $5 anymore.
No. Right, yeah.
And honestly, even if you're going to go and not buy anything, it would be worth it just to walk around and, you know, see the artist, see the writers and everything. See us. We'll be there all day.
We'll be That's there right. interviewing people, and we'd love to know what you're reading, what you think of what's new and happening in the comic book world and these upcoming TV shows, including Wonder Woman and movies and things happening. So, yeah, definitely.
If you want to be interviewed for, you know, like a man on the street type interview, we could probably arrange that.
We're also looking for people to financially support Jump Drive Radio.
Yes.
So if you want to give us a dollar, that's fine too.
You can staple a dollar to Todd, right?
We went to a sideshow freak show thing, and the guy basically took his shirt off and said,
At the end of the night,
he took his shirt off for tips instead of just putting in a tip bucket or whatever. He handed people staplers.
Oh my
so
gosh,
for a dollar, you could staple it to his chest.
No, it had to be $5 or more.
Oh, yes. $5 for the chest, $10 for the nipples and
forehead. Somebody staples something to his forehead.
No, it's $20 for the forehead. But, like, it's $5 for the nipples and the buttocks. And then $20 for the forehead. And he got a $20 bill. I gave him a good one up here on the pack with just $5. So
he's smiling a masochist, like, holding a stapler. And he has this picture of himself.
Yeah, you can see it on Facebook. You can... find the link there, toddthefox.com. Just go to my Facebook page, and you'll see me laughing maniacally right before I hit him with a stapler gun.
That is horrifying.
Are you going to do that in these shows?
Well, that's just what we're talking about. If we get them to Gem City Comic Con, you know, I'll take my shirt off, and you can staple $5 to my chest.
Seriously?
No, not seriously. Because we're not a traveling sideshow still.
He's actually fully serious about this.
Yeah. I'm part carnival barker.
Let's see how many staples it takes. It takes time to cry like a baby.
What's my deductible for insurance?
Maybe you should do a couple practice staples. Just to see how you handle the pain.
Okay. We'll be doing that soon.
I'm going to bring a hammer and nails.
No, not hammer and nails.
I couldn't find a stapler, but it's hammer time.
All right, hold still, Todd.
One last thing before we close out our podcast for tonight is that we are getting ready to, in a couple weeks, do our Star Wars fanboy rebuttal, wherein we bring a fanboy on and he tells us how horribly wrong we were about every single thing we said about Star Wars, every single negative thing we ever said about Star Wars. So if you have any questions for him or questions for us that you would like us to ask him or him to ask us, get on our forums and tell us what you think and what we should say.
And if it's too much of a pain to get on our forums, you can always do the tweet, Twitter us at Jump Jive Radio, and we can make note of your comments and questions about the Star Wars inconsistencies, if you have noticed any, which a lot of people have. You know, we at Jump Drive Radio, we don't hate Star Wars.
Oh, no, that's just the opposite. I think we're doing this because it's a labor of love.
Yes, but at the same time,
we're
used to a higher quality, like, universe in our sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, Doctor Who, which new Doctor Who episodes coming up. I'm so excited. New Doctor Who and Torchwood. Star Trek, and, you know, we're used to it having
like it to hold together.
Yeah, so it's not like Star Wars is enjoyable, but, you know, I don't know what this rebuttal guy has to say that it, like...
Yeah, you've never actually met him, have you?
I believe I... I don't know.
We're all pretty excited.
I know. So anyway...
Yeah, definitely. Don't give him any easy shots. Don't pull any punches. We want this to be the real deal. So, like Lisa Bunny said, you can use the Twitter email address, jumpdriveradio@gmail.com, or... just jumpdriveradio.com. We got forums.
Yep.
There's no way, you know, I'm working on a phone number. I didn't tell you guys about that, but we're actually working on a voicemail phone number thing.
Yeah, actually,
people still use phones?
It.
Do you have some Battletoads?
Yeah.
Not for long.
Does Jump Drive Radio have Battletoads?
Are we? Well, I think we're pretty much closed out here on all our topics. So on behalf of Todd, Lisa, Nick, and me, Amber, all of us here at Jump Drive Radio are saying, raise some hell.
Yeah!
Nice ending.
Very nice.
Check out next week's episode at jumpdriveradio.com.
What? Welcome to Jump Drive Radio.
I thought she was hosting.
Okay, so Amber decided she wants to host this one, so...
Are you hosting her hosting part?
I'm hosting her hosting thing. I'm letting everybody know what's going on.
Host
so.
Your host, Matt.
I'm about to host your host. All right.
Welcome to Jump Drive.
I was getting another count because Chewy back there is chewing.
I think we should just keep it like this and nobody needs to host.
Yeah. Nobody's doing the job anymore.